No playing.
Zach, how much money would it take for me to freeze an Olympic-sized pool full of semen?
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to you.
My name's not Zach, it's Christophe Bartlet.
Chris? It is Jean-Claude Van Dammit.
But a little over $3 trillion, which is a little over half of what the United States federal government spent in 2023.
Pretty good. It's like, I don't know, 3 or 4 paychecks, right?
Yep.
Yeah, man. You ever just be like hanging out outside somewhere, like, I don't know, taking a break, taking lunch or something, and like somebody just decides they're going to come up to you and just unload their entire life story on you?
Thankfully, no. But I don't interface with the public that often. I know that that is a very awesome thing for me.
Yeah, that happens to me like once or twice a week.
I'm sorry, bud. You also work across the street from a nursing home. So, I mean, like, they don't have family members that call them anymore.
What the fuck are you talking? What?
Oh, bingo hall. Sorry. Nursing home.
Yeah, man.
It may as well
be a nursing home.
Yeah, it's a ballpark.
Yeah, you know, close enough. Like, a dude came up to me today. I was like, taking out trash, and usually when I'm outside doing stuff, I'll have one of my earbuds in, like listening to a book, listening to music, whatever. This guy was sitting out at our picnic table. Apparently, I guess he said something to me when I first went to check the trash and like get the bag out, and I just didn't hear him. So then I heard him, like, it's like, man, you can't fucking say hi to people anymore, like, got fucking people these days. And I was like, oh man, what's his problem? And then I walked past him, he just goes, yeah, you have a good night, man. I was like, okay, yeah, you too, man. And he just started telling me about how he's in the military, about how someone tried to kill themselves in front of his son, and then when he tried to get the gun from the guy, he fucking like got shot like in the face, and now he's homeless. And I was like, dude, what's happening? I'm trying to change the trash bags. That's all I'm here to do is change the trash. Why is this I'm just a little guy. He tried to give me a baseball bat. Like, not sell it to me. He tried to give it to me.
So, like, was tonight's whole thing to, like, get me into a recording session so you could then unload on me? Like, this is, like, a weird trauma inheritance situation.
I don't know, man. Like, it just, I have like weird situations like that at work a lot where like somebody just decides they're going to come up to me and make me the person who inherits the problem. Like, I don't know you.
Yeah, that's,
and there's
that's rough.
Every chance I'm never going to see you again after today. Like, knock it off.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Did I hear you right? Did you say that he said he was homeless?
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe he just doesn't have people to talk to, or maybe he's just, I mean, you know, once you get to a certain point, I gotta imagine that you just kind of want to talk to whoever you can. So maybe that's who you were for him that night. I mean, it does kind of suck to be in that situation. I mean, everybody's dealing with their own stuff, but yeah. I don't know. That and all the death that follows you at work is weird.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm super cursed.
I mean, I guess you can say that. I mean, you work at a place that has death that happens to a lot of people around you, but not directly to you. You know what I mean? So, like, you're not cursed and like, oh, my family's all dying around me. It's like coworkers, families, and customers and stuff.
Yeah, man. Straight up cursed.
Yeah.
I don't know, gas stations are such weird places to work. Like, I think I read a statistic somewhere that, like, it's more dangerous to work in a gas station than it is to be, like, a police officer.
I could see that. I'm sure the numbers get weird on that. Like, you know, the type of danger you can be in is probably a little bit different. But I mean, like, robberies, and then just like, you know, you're literally sitting on a ton of fuel. So if something crazy happens, or like a like any type of fire, I'm sure is like a huge issue. So
people handle that in such stupid ways too. Like if we ever have a gas spill, if it's over a certain amount, we're supposed to call the fire department. Like the fire department has to come and clean it up, because they have to be on hand in case something happens and it does catch, and so like they'd be there to put it out, right?
Yeah,
and that makes sense. But if it's like 1 gallon of gas got spilled or something, we have this chemical absorbent that we're supposed to spread on it, and that keeps it from getting anywhere. It just kind of soaks it up, and then we sweep that up and we dispose of it. But like people, for some reason, think it's an incredibly cool idea to be like, oh man, gasoline, I'm gonna pour water on it. It's like, why would you do that? Why would you put that? It's just going to spread the gasoline around because it's oil based. It's going to float on top of the water, which is then going to flow away, and now there's gasoline on more things. Don't pour water on it. But that's what everyone thinks to do.
Like, are they trying to be helpful?
I'm assuming they're trying. They're really fucking not. This makes a bigger mess to clean up.
Maybe you should put a sign out.
People can't read.
I don't know. Do you have a sign?
If there is one thing I have learned working in any kind of public-facing job, it is that it does not matter how many signs you put up. Human beings, as a whole, cannot read.
I mean, we're also in Kentucky, so like, we're on the back foot, but
don't know that that's going to be the deciding factor here. So there's that line in Men in Black: "A person is smart, people are panicky idiots," or something like that. I live that. Like, if you know an individual, you can get like, yeah, man, they're intelligent in these specific ways. But you find a group of people, and seeing as the group of people that I interact with on the day to day is the public at large. God damn, they're stupid. Oh no.
Maybe they just want to make your life difficult.
Probably like, fuck that guy in particular.
Yeah, I'd do that. Specifically to you, probably not your coworkers, but since I know you
do stuff. Do that, like, yeah, we talked about this like just like last night. Yeah, I remember whenever you like totally like woke me up and was like, I had a bad dream, and then stabbed me.
Yeah,
and I was dead for 4 minutes.
Yep,
the EMTs had to bring me back.
Yeah, and then something golf clubs.
Yeah, man, good cool. Times. We've known each other a really long time.
Yeah, man, really awesome, dude. Bring an inside joke into like a podcast and stuff.
Like, no one's gonna understand what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't think any of the people that listen to this are in that Discord server. That's gonna be real funny.
No, man, it's not an inside joke even. No, guys, everyone, Zach, me and him are best friends, but yeah, he once killed me.
Yep.
I did. I had to be resuscitated.
I yes anded you. How are we going to continue?
Man, so like the thing is, I remember like the thing that kind of brought that forward is you were like, if it was at one of my birthday sleepovers, and like, I remember one of those specifically, because for a bunch of like, we were like, what, first year of high school or something like that, maybe like late middle school. But like Darren was there and Paul was there. Like Josh, there was just like a lot of people we knew, and just a lot of really weird shit happened that night.
I remember what you're talking about, but I don't remember the weird stuff.
I remember
also
Paul,
please elaborate, because this sounds like we're exploring ourselves and that didn't happen.
No, I remember Paul said the fuck word like one time. I was being like just kind of a real shithead, because your mom was like, don't swear, like everybody's kind of like behave, and I was just being a real shithead. Like, I was cussing like all the time, and I guess Jackie just never heard me, but like, she heard Paul say the fuck word like once, and like put like half a bottle of hot sauce in his mouth as a punishment. And we're like, dude, like, I thought he was gonna have to finish the bottle. I don't know why she gave him so much. And then there was the point where I don't remember exactly how it happened. I remember somebody got Darren into your closet and just closed and locked the door on him.
I mean, I remember that being a thing. It doesn't lock, but we had to have like held it or put like a door.
Somebody was like leaning against the door or something. Yeah. And we just kind of forgot about him for like 20 minutes. So he was in there for like a while.
I think he chose to stay in there, if I remember right. Like,
At one point he just kind of gave up. I think so. But I remember we decided to let him out finally, and he had found like a Sports Illustrated swimsuit calendar you had in there, and
that
like he had his boxers on, but his pants were down.
I remember what you're talking about. I can tell you, I didn't have that in my closet, which is pretty tame. So like, I wouldn't care if it was. I don't remember what it was, but it wasn't that.
It was something like that, where you were like one of your family members had given it to you, like, oh, ho, ho, you're a teenager now, you're good, and you just kind of didn't care, so you just kind of shoved it in your closet. Like, Darren found it, and so, yeah, like, 20 minutes later, we open up the closet door, and like, again, thankfully, he had his boxers on still, but his pants were down, and he had that thing, and we were like, whoa, hold on. Then I remember watching a shit ton of scary movies with Paul. We were watching like The 13 Ghosts and Pet Sematary and stuff. So there was just like a lot of people were in the other room, like playing Halo 3 or like Beautiful Joe or whatever it was. And fucking me and Paul were watching a kid get crushed to death by potatoes.
That is weird, but I will
say
that's
very weird.
That at least in regards to the like cursing and Paul getting the hot sauce. You got payback, man. I think you took, what, two or three Nerf darts to the eyes? And then, like,
oh, my God. Yeah. Two Nerf darts. Velcro Nerf darts. No less. I remember that day. I remember because he sat there and played through literally the entirety of Twilight Princess just in one sitting, which honestly is the most impressive part about that to me. He fucking crushed that whole game in one day.
Yeah, I mean, it feels weird to talk about, like, another friend whenever I'm talking to a friend right now. But yeah, I always loved, like, we would go to GameStop, pick up a game, like, some used thing from 4 years ago. And I've never been the one to, like, play the game, but I always, like, just being there watching someone else do something. And that was always, like, pretty relaxing to like have Paul do something like that. Like what was the one? Beyond Good and Evil. That one was a trip. Man, that one was crazy.
Well, Paul in general is just like he's such an entertaining person to be around because he can take like any little thing, like any tiny little bit, and he can stretch it on for 20 minutes and into the funniest fucking thing you've ever heard.
Like, I mean, yeah, it's fun to watch him get mad because it's not hard to do and he goes off.
Yeah, it's really not.
Paul, if you're listening to this, eat shit.
I don't know if Paul listens to many of these episodes. I know, like he since he had the babby, he's not had a whole lot of time. I know he's working from home now, so I'm hoping that means he's got like a little bit more like time for himself to like do stuff that he enjoys doing. But I know like working and caring for a child, a newborn child at the same time has to be like just an absolute nightmare.
Yeah. Hopefully he's getting it under control, though. I'm sure the first, like, couple of years until, you know, once you start getting into, like, daycare and preschool and stuff, I mean, I'm not a parent, I don't know. I'm sure parents out there will be like, you idiot. But, I mean, surely it gets easier once there's a little bit more independence. I know that there's not real, real independence until, like, much later, but, you know, there's a certain point.
Yeah, to an extent, I've kind of lived it because both Elaine and Rob were born at a point where I was pretty independent myself already, so there would be a lot of like babysitting to be done. Thank God I never had to be the one to be like a primary caregiver to a child, because let me tell you, buddy, I am garbage at it.
Yeah, dude, and you are bone dry. There's no way that you could breastfeed. Like,
absolutely, I've got an inverted chest.
Yeah,
you have to pump something in there just to get me to like a normal level.
Yeah,
I got this weird anatomy. And my belt, my bendy shoulders and elbow thing I do. Yeah, you shouldn't ever let my genetics go out into the world, because I think that's just going to get worse until whatever great grandchild I have is like a quadruple jointed wall crawling monstrosity.
You don't have any siblings from like the same father, right? So like
I do not.
Okay. Does he have weird elbows?
I don't know.
Okay.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, you've got
I inherited a lot from dad in like a weird way. It's funny, like, have you ever met dad?
Nope.
No, that's honestly a shame. He's cool dude. I like him. I say about my own father.
Yeah.
I didn't spend a whole lot of time with him growing up because well, I didn't find this out until I was like 15, 16 years old, I think. But like the reason him and mom divorced is that he did not want to have kids, which is like, wow. Oh, man, that here's how fucking stupid I was at that age, too. I remember asking mom about it, and it really wasn't like a, oh, am I a bad kid or any, like it wasn't like a self-deprecating or I was feeling bad. I was legitimately just curious. But just one day, like after school and mom's getting home and I'm like, hey mom, why did you and dad divorce? And like, she got like super serious and like sat me down and she's like, just wait here for a second. I'm going to go get my shoes off and like, just like, take off this uncomfortable thing. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't get what's going on. And then she like sat down with me in the kitchen and she was just explaining it like really with like baby gloves on. Like it nothing to do with you. It was just one of us wanted to have kids and the other one didn't. And I was like, yeah, okay. And just kind of at that moment, it was just like, okay, cool. I got my answer. And it was like 3 days later where like the thought finally crossed my head, like, oh, dad didn't want me. Oh,
I do not feel equipped to handle this situation in a public setting.
You can call me an idiot because like,
let the record show that I am not calling my best friend who just shared some stuff an idiot.
Well, now, like,
you are loved.
That, well, I know, like, bro, that's not a thing I beat myself up on. Like, I can very much see how, like, especially, like, kids at that age.
Oh,
like,
you've got plenty of other stuff to beat yourself up on, for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. I'm so fucking dumb. But, like, it's very easy for kids at that age to, like, take that in that way. But, like, especially now I'm at where I am mentally, where it's like, please don't ever let me possess a child. I hate them. I get it. I understand why the man would not want to have children. And like, even if I wasn't born, like that's an irreconcilable difference in the relationship. Like if mom really wanted to have kids and dad just really didn't, then somebody's either going to have to just toss the lifestyle they want to have out the window, or they're going to have to go their separate ways to find partners who will accommodate that particular thing they want out of the relationship. And that's just the way it ended up going. So I'm cool with that, but at the fact that it took me 3 days to even have the thought cross my mind, I was not bright when I was a teenager. I'm not bright now.
That's not true.
You're right, I do cover myself in reflective paint a lot.
That's not what I meant. Everybody has their strengths and weaknesses, so, I mean...
My strength is drinking the paint water.
Yeah.
I have to keep my cats from it. I cannot leave paint water unattended because they will go out of their way to drink my paint water when they have this container that dispenses fresh water for them at all times.
Yeah, but it's not spicy.
It doesn't have the pigment.
Yeah. I want the cilantro. Oh my god, what did I just drink?
Cats. Oh man. I want more of them.
Allergic to cats? Can't have cats. Really? Like cat vibes. I've got a Siberian Husky. She acts like a cat sometimes, and it's awesome.
Yeah, Zoe's special.
Yep. She is a turd. I call her my stinker bell.
Okay. I'm going to give you that one. You get that one, okay?
I have been doing so well with my puns this week.
Oh man. So I love my cats. I will put that out there. Katarina's fucking stupid. And that's just all. She's dumb as hell.
She's horny. Not, she's not stupid.
No, she's so dumb. Zach. No. Katarina's the kind of dumb where she's a very pretty cat, and she knows she's a very pretty cat, so she doesn't have to do anything that requires any amount of thought because she knows that we're going to give her attention anyway. So she just puts zero effort or thought in. She doesn't chew her food. She literally will just take mouthfuls of kibbles and swallow them dry and whole, and then vomit them all over the place, and then gets upset that her food bowl is empty because she decided to try and fucking, like, snake swallowing an egg all of her food at once. So we've been having to, like, feed her little bits at a time. And then Simon has little fucking night terrors. Like, every now and then, he'll be sleeping just as soundly as a cat has ever slept, and I'll move wrong, wake him up from a dream, and he will just eviscerate whatever part of my body is closest to him. I love cats, but there are some real fucking weird quirks, because, like, every cat has, like, one glitch that you have to deal with on a constant basis.
I love that analogy so much.
It's how it feels. Like, every cat I've ever owned has been that way. Like, I don't think you ever knew Liam.
No.
Because he was not long after we moved out to where mom is now. And Ray, just one of my birthdays, just came over and handed me this kitten and was like, this is yours now. And I was like, mom's going to hate this.
Yeah, but I seem to remember something about that one. And then there was one from, like, your childhood before we met. It was like the Satan cat or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Lucy Furry. Yeah, I didn't realize until I was like 16 that mom had named the cat Lucifer.
So, I don't know. You're a smart guy, but man, you keep telling some stories towards like, see that one.
Well, I mean, I tell this story all the time because mom also really likes telling the story, but whenever I was like a little toddler boy, I apparently drank an entire bottle of hand sanitizer.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't know why I did it. I cannot remember this.
The story my parents like to tell is whenever they're potty training me, they got me to pee in the toilet and then I pooped in the front yard.
Zach, I need you to understand that your delivery of that was so fucking spot on.
That's what they said. They said that they got me on the toilet and they're like, yay, you did it! And then I just came out front.
So there wasn't like an interval?
Nope.
You're just like a dog that needed to go out.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that hit me real hard. I've had a lot of shit that's made me really fucking laugh this week. It's been, what was the thing I saw a thing yesterday that was like the shorter a magic sword's name is, the more dangerous it is.
Oh, okay.
So it was like, don't get me wrong. You for sure don't want to be on the wrong end of Count Olaf's Sword of Annihilation, but you for sure don't want to be on the wrong end of something called the Throngler.
Yeah, that must mean that Thunder Fury, Blessed Blade of the Windseeker is pretty stupid.
Not the most dangerous weapon. Not like the Throngler. The thing about that one, it's like, is it really crept up on me?
Was that?
Yeah, like, I heard it, and I was like, that's kind of funny. And then, like, as it sat, as it just marinated in my brain, I kept thinking of just the Throngler. And it just, like, it built to the point where I was, like, unable to breathe laughing.
Hold on. Hold on. We're going to bring AI up into this.
Oh, shit.
If Distractable can do it, so can we.
I have toyed with the idea of doing like a Distractable kind of thing.
Okay, so a lot of these are stupid. You got the Chuckle Blade. You got Wits In, Ticklish Sting, Mirthful Cutlass, Giggle Slicer, Whimsy Blade, Snicker Steel. I like that one. A Jest Master? That sounds like a sex thing. Quip Quill? Haha Hacker? Chuckle Chopper? Lighthearted Saber? Snort Blade?
Jovial. Why do these all sound like a weapon that Bombulus Frambo would use?
It's me, Jingly John.
It's me, Jingly John.
Jovial Edge, Hilarious Sword, which is stupid. I do like this one. Guffaw Gladius, Banter Blade, Jester's Cut, Laughing Lancer, and Grin Blade. I like Snicker Steel. Snicker Steel, like, is funny, and I mean, that'll hurt.
It's me, Jingly John. Taste my Snicker Steel.
Yeah.
I enjoy Jingly John. I was looking back through the world building thing that we were doing and got that funny little He Who reminder that I let Ari spend 0.2 points to inflict Jingly John upon the world. Not to add him to it, but to inflict him upon it.
Yeah. For anybody who doesn't know, you should watch Mystery Quest, specifically the Mordboard campaign. You will then know who Jingly John is.
I'm so into Morkborg as like a game. Like that game just kind of begs for the kind of treatment that 40K got in If the Emperor Had a Text-to-Speech Device. Like it's kind of hard to get to a point where you're too edgy for me, but that book is too edgy for me, and I thus cannot take it seriously. It has to be a funny He Who game.
Yeah, I mean, it seems interesting. We haven't played it. It's real funny during, you know, like character creation. It's just like, I don't know, roll on the table, and it's like, okay, you can resurrect people, or like you can start with one hit point. You know, stuff like that.
Two's the minimum.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. You start with 2 hit points. But,
I guess it's not. Now I'm thinking about it, because your toughness mod can be negative in the starting thing. If you were to roll a 1 on that initial D8 with a negative mod, your character could start dead.
Well, do they not have, like, a rule that's just, like, it's, you know, like, a minimum? Like, surely... Surely you can't just make like a stillborn baby or something.
I do probably. Listen, the first thing I read out of that book was, this vile flute, when played, will animate a fetus-sized meat golem from the nearest corpse. So, defo a chance that that's a thing. Let me see. Is it in this book? Morkborg, second edition. Yeah. I love the book, though. Did I send you the book?
I think we got something. I mean, I haven't read it, but I think we got
I think Molly sent the, okay, so yeah, it does say in worst case 1 HP, but nevertheless. All right, so there's that. I know Molly shared the bare bones version, which is like, it's all the rules, it's everything that's in the core rule book, but it doesn't have all the cool art and stuff in it.
Okay.
This book, literally every page has artwork on it. Every single one, and it's amazingly done.
Okay.
Very cool.
I got to give you an update on the sword names. I got another list. Some of them are the same. One of them, instead of Snicker Steel, they got Snicker Slicer. Snlicer. Don't know what that is, but it's cool. But then there's this one, and like, man, it sounds pretty cool. It's the Chuckle Crusher.
The Chuckle Crusher. Give me all of your chuckles. I will destroy them.
I mean, these sound like weapon, like you're going up against the circus or like the Clegs. Like these would be the weapons that the Clegs wield.
Yeah. Oh man, I forgot about this bit. So there's like so in Morkborg, the only playable race is human. There's not like elves or dwarves or anything like that. At least not in like the base book. I know there's a couple supplementary books, but I don't have those yet. But one of the races that apparently inhabits this world are called Wickheads. And they're like humans, but they have like some sort of light source for a head.
Okay.
Like there's one, what's his name? Alland. And he's got a lantern for a head.
Okay.
And you can like kill him and take it as a light source.
Does it like last forever?
I don't think so. I don't know, man.
I mean, the game,
a lot of this stuff is very open to interpretation. The I need to get more of the books. I've been very interested in this system as a whole. There have been, so like the whole point of Morkborg is that it's very, very rules light. It's like,
yeah,
as rules light as it gets. But people apparently have enjoyed it so much and wanted to give it like a little bit more fleshing out. So there have been two supplements that were like user created content of how they like handled things that they felt like the rules light system didn't handle very well on its own, to kind of like give it a bit more meat and like added in some extra adventures. And the publishers picked up on it and were like, all right, yeah, this stuff is really cool content. And they actually, they gave them full credit for what they made, but then like published these books that had the new systems and stuff in it. And I think it's really cool that there's this company that not only pays that close attention to their user base, but also like will acknowledge and like reward them for their creativity. I really enjoyed that.
Isn't that like, I can't remember if there was some part of you talking about it, maybe in a previous episode, or maybe it was just other YouTubers, but wasn't that like, I mean, like Gygax, he took rules from something, right? And included it. Like it's all just like a big community driven like hobby. So like all of these systems are built upon, like they'll publish something that they think is cool and they'll go, oh crap, didn't think about that. And then they'll hopefully steal it in the best possible way where they give credit and, you know, reward the people who came up with it. But I mean, isn't that a thing?
I know the people who made the Forged in the Dark system, the people who made Blades in the Dark and Band of Blades and Scum and Villainy, they do that a lot.
Okay.
They have three currently published systems, the three ones that I mentioned, but on the website, I'm actually going to pull that up. I've already got it. Blades in the Dark. I remember seeing in like a little community thing. Oh, well, their community page is down right now. Amazing. But Blade Supplements, Fan Creations. Here it is. So here's a bunch of links. More Playbooks by Justin Ford. Steelweaver's Rebellion by Mabel Harper. Duskfall Street Maps by Tim Denis. They just have like a lot of these supplemental things that were made by the community that they decided were really cool and like maybe not worthy of like being published as their own whole system, but they thought this is really cool, is really interesting, and we kind of want to put this forward and let the rest of our community like see it and find it. They've got this whole section here that they call hacks, which is like people using the system to kind of make their own setting and make their own things. One called Court of Blades, Mutants in the Night, Desks in the Dark, To Boldly Go. But yeah, there's like tons of these like kind of hacked together systems using the Forged in the Dark core, which I'm thinking is probably how they initially came up with the plan to like make the Forged in the Dark core system out of Blades in the Dark. But they just have like all these pages where it's, we're going to find all these like really cool, very popular parts of our specific community and like try and present those and make them like push them forward a little bit so that people can see them and interact with them and like have our community be part of the development of the game as a whole.
Very cool.
Yeah, I wish more systems and more companies would do that. It's unfortunate that Tenra really doesn't have a big community, at least not here in the States. I think the game is more popular in Japan because, you know, that's where it was developed and initially released. I think Tenra is a fucking fantastic game. One of the things I've honestly been thinking about doing myself is reformatting the core rulebook, because that's really the thing that I think it would benefit the most from. Is it's, there are certain rules about character creation that, goddamn, you're just never going to find them. They're not indexed. It's just impossible to navigate that book. So I think if it could get reformatted and be like more readable, it would be exceptional. But I would love to see more content for Tenra be like put out there. And I would love to see the Tenra devs, and especially the translation team that brought it over from Japan excuse me, from Japan into the States, trying to like encourage people to engage with the system and then like put these adventures, put these characters and these kind of things that they've done forward.
Yeah.
I'd really like to do an actual play podcast of Tenra. Hope that like it could kind of help propel the game into the spotlight a little bit.
Yeah, I liked it. I have only gotten a taste of it, but I mean, it was enjoyable. I find it hard to get super weeby on stuff. Like, I can't do the like super like Japanese name style on stuff, and so that's kind of difficult for me to get into. But I really like the system, and I do very much enjoy like Japanese culture. I just I feel like I'm trying to be something I'm not whenever I try to like engage more with it. Like, I feel comfortable enjoying it as like a white dude from afar than like trying to immerse myself, if that makes sense. But no, the system was really cool, and I liked how they had like some of the classes, and I forget what they were, but like the whole thing with like whatever the, is it a resource? It's like the samurais, they have like blades that are enhanced with something, and then there's like these robot things that are enhanced with the same thing. There's like souls or something, right?
The soul gem?
Yeah, that's it. That stuff was really cool.
Yeah, I like a lot of the world building too. Because like it does a cool thing where it's like, pick your favorite anime, you can make a character that fits Tenra. Like, using that as a thematic basis.
Yeah. And the, whoever the worm charmer class is, what was that? Are they?
The analytists.
That's it. Those are really cool.
Yeah.
I will say that the Aiki
and by putting worms in your eyeballs.
Yeah. The like Aiki system is interesting. But that was a little weird to follow, where like you have to like pursue things, and then at the end of the set, like in between sessions, then you can like go up and down and then like wait against the karma to like,
yeah.
Like, yeah, I get why they do it. It's because they're trying to like, there's way, 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 way more emphasis on like the narrative side of things in Tenra than there is on like combat and stuff. Like, even combat is kind of narrative, and like, so to give you like breadcrumbs to follow to like help you put yourself into your character's shoes and like make decisions based on like what they would do, they try to incentivize you via a system of things that you get to choose and improve upon, and then say, I'm done with this, and so on and so forth. So I get it, but it was a little bit, I don't want to say cumbersome. Cumbersome is probably too strong a word, but like in that vein, it's just like, yeah, it's a little weird at the end.
Yeah, I definitely think like the intermission is one of those things that could do with a lot of the, like, I think if that section was reformatted so that the order of things was more obvious, it could be a lot faster and a lot less clunky.
Yeah.
Because they do like the whole like, oh, do you want to do your fates or do you want to like roll for this? It's not exactly clear exactly what order things are supposed to go in.
Yeah.
And I think it's like that and Onmyo Jutsu, like the summoning of the Shikigami spirits, are like the two things that are really just kind of complex to the system. Everything else is, for the most part, pretty easy.
Yeah. No, it's
that'll be almost our time. Go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you again.
I just want to say it's really awesome that Pillow Arts is a like thing you can put points into in that game.
Yeah. So that's one of the things I actually ended up reading a review of, like, somebody really just going off about how the game espouses pedophilia because of that.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And like, their whole reasoning behind it is that every character gets as like, so there's certain skills that are called generalist skills, where it's like everybody knows how to do this at least a little bit, even if they're not trained in it. Those are the only skills that you can have rank one in. Everything else is two or higher because you have to train to get to that level. But everyone has a rank in Pillow Arts, which, for people listening who may not understand what that is, it's like your basic kind of like seduction, using like sensual voices or like sexuality in order to accomplish a goal. And every character has Pillow Arts. like one rank of it. And this whole review was like, oh man, so like even the child characters have a rank in Pillow Wars, meaning you could use a child to seduce you. It's like, no, the game doesn't assume that you're going to be making a child and then trying to fuck people. You assumed that. That's your problem. What are you on about?
Yeah, I definitely don't feel like there's any, well, I don't want to say not any system, but there aren't mainstream systems that like allow you to make characters. I don't know if they explicitly state, like, I don't know that there's a disclaimer that says, like, we assume that the characters you make are, you know, of age or whatever. But yeah, I mean, that type of content is, I mean, first of all, pretty well outlawed just because, right? Like, I mean, just de facto, like, you don't do that.
Yeah.
But I mean, even like, if let's not say pedophilia, but, you know, just like general, like erotic type stuff. I mean, the stuff you talk about to like know if those are themes that you're willing to explore. So, I mean, like, you know what I mean? It's not like they baked it into the world and that's how it is. Like, even if you're not talking about as extreme of an example as they are, yeah, that's. Whenever I hear comments like that, it sounds like it comes from either somebody who just, I mean, the internet incentivizes hot takes. Like, you don't want to have the same thoughts that everybody else does. You want to be different because that's what gets attention. And so, like, going with the flow on a lot of things is stuff that just, you're not incentivized to do that. And so I can't ever tell if it comes from someone who's trying to have a hot take, or if it's like a younger individual who just has fewer life experiences, or what it is. But yeah, I don't agree with that one. That one's silly.
Yeah, it's putting words in the author's mouth that the author did not explicitly ever state. Like, yeah. Any adult human is going to have at least some knowledge in how to like flirt or interact with somebody that they're attracted to. Even if they're not good at it.
Yeah.
Like, every adult human has some amount of riz, whether they use it or not. Like, to the fact that there is exactly one kind of character that it espouses are usually children. Not exclusively, but usually. And that's the Yoroi armor pilots. And they are actually explicitly stated as being individuals who are trained specifically to not care about anything other than piloting giant robot. So they're not even a character that they would espouse you using Pillow Arts on. They're a character that they're saying, all right, put this child in the fucking, get in the fucking robot, Shinji. It's a Neon Genesis Evangelion reference.
Yeah, well, and yeah, I don't know, we don't have to go like too hard on this, but there are a few things that are generally accepted as like evil, you know, like off the cuff. I mean, there's whole philosophies on why that's not the case, but I mean, like, generally speaking, you know, there are certain things. And so I would say pedophilia is one of those. And that's usually where you see conspiracy theorists like jump to immediately. Like, they're doing this thing because they are pedophiles and they want to come after our children. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty like textbook case of like trying to get, you know, like you just throw something so egregious on the thing that you're trying to criticize because it unduly puts a burden on the defender to like try to come back against that. And so it's always a bad way. And I don't want to get into it, but it sounds a lot like, I forget what the principle is, but there's some principle out there that's like how long it takes before somebody equates something to like Hitler or like the atrocities that happened during that time. And so they'd be like, ah, yes, the like whatever principle is, like, it took 4 posts and now we're talking about World War II. So
here we are again.
And so it sounds like something like that. It's just like, let me go from 0 to 100 and then try to back up that point. And yeah, it doesn't serve anyone other than to like, I guess, make people mad. But yeah, anyway, that's silly. We don't need to dwell on that. It's a dumb thing. I don't value their contribution.
Nor do I. But that is our time for this week.
Okay, we're not done yet because I haven't said so. I've got a pun from ChatGPT. I've had this for a while. Here we go. Why did the wizard bring a ladder to the dungeon?
I don't know why.
Because he wanted to cast a higher level spell. It sucks. We're done now.
I hate you. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of D20 Dudes. If you would like to find us on Facebook, that's facebook.com/D20Dudes. You want to find us on Twitter, it's twitter.com/D20Dudes or at D20Dudes on Twitter. If you want to join us in the Discord, we got a link to that down in the description. It's open to everybody. Come pop on in. And if you would like to monetarily support the podcast, patreon.com/D20Dudes. Just $3 a month will get you a shout out in every episode, like I had a burp coming up on that one. And I was trying to stall, but now it's just kind of hiding. It's very uncomfortable.
Thanks for supporting us. Also, gas from my body. I'm going to talk about that for a long time.
Zam, thanks. Molly, pretty cool chick. Jenny, also pretty cool chick. Word, cool dude. And Ken Thomas, thank you so much for supporting the podcast.
You said pretty cool people, and on the last name you don't give them any like specific compliment.
I've actually very specifically been espousing Ken as like this guy who just like kind of showed up out of nowhere, subbed to the Patreon, and then has said nothing ever since. He just showed up and started giving me money. Okay. Even past the point where like whenever I closed the Patreon down and brought it back up, and like he's in the Discord, I sent out a message and I was like, hey, if you're subbed to the Patreon and you don't want to get charged for this, be sure to unsub now because I can't cancel that for you. It has to be something done on your end. But he just stuck with it. He's been a supporter from the beginning.
So that's cool. Just so you know, you're undeserving of specific compliments. I just throwing that out. That's what I'm hearing.
Fuck you, Zach. Yeah, so the Patreon, eat my ass.
I've known Dylan for a long time. This is how I show him love.
So we're going to roll the D20 and see what next week's episode is going to be about. I rolled a 6. Oh, boy. This one, all right, we're going to see if we actually talk about this one next week, because from what I've heard, this could be a whole thing. And I may need time to look into it and do my research, but I rolled GURPS, which I don't even remember what that stands for. GURPS. Generic Universal Role-Playing System. And I believe I was given examples of like your character can be like made, and then like you roll events that happen to them through their life, and then you don't finish until you have like a set of characteristics that you enjoy from that, but it could mean that your character starts at 80 years old and has 2 weeks to live.
Huh.
Yeah, it could be bonkers. So I will try to cover GURPS next week. If it requires more time, then we'll cover something else. But yeah, that's the plan for now. Thank you everyone for listening.
If you roll an 80-year-old, you have to role play at a gas station and you're just giving hell to the gas station attendant.
You're just going to the IHOP and being excessively rude to the waitress.
Well, I've got a +5 in strength, so get ready, IHOP.
So thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll catch you in next week's episode. Goodbye.